When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the NFL.
You mocking me? Are you mocking me?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Welcome to the Dynasty Warzone, the People's Dynasty Podcast. On tonight's show, we're going to do a little mock draft. And who doesn't love a good mock draft and how timely the combine has just ended, but this man's back and we're just beginning. You know him better as the man of the hour and the man with the power, Jerry Sinclair. How are you, buddy?
I am absolutely phenomenal because we have crossed off something from the checklist. The first offseason checklist, the combine, done. We're going to work through free agency. We're going to work through the preseason. We're going to work through all of it, and we're going to get there again. We're going to work through startup season. Then it's going to be football again, buddy. I'm excited. This is the thing about summer. Everybody loves summer. The weather's so nice. No, summer gets in the damn way of football season. I need to get summer through as quick as possible so I can get back to football season.
I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I like summer because it's baseball season. But I got to be honest, my kid's in high school. Baseball season starts next week. So by the time the summer gets here, it's hot as balls. We met up in Iowa last year. What was it, like 97?
Yeah, it's like 97 all the time.
0% shade, 100% humidity. It was absolutely
the plains.
Atrocious. But combine, what'd you think? Don't want to go too much into it. We have a mock draft to get into. We got good people, bad tweets, but just some initial thoughts. Were you blown away? Was it what you expected? Position group, anything?
You want me to be honest with you? I think it was the least sizzly combine we've had in a while. We've got a lot of quarterbacks that we would have loved to see do things, and I understand from their perspective why they didn't do it, but I didn't get to see it, and I'm selfish, and I wanted to. So that sort of sucks. There's no unbelievable running back competition. Like, we're not looking at Breece Hall versus Kenneth Walker, and we're not trying to do all that. Like, we're picking between B-tier guys at that position. And then as far as the wide receivers were concerned, we didn't see the top-end guys. So we're picking between the scraps that we got to pick at the end of the first and the early second. No, they showed out. They created names for themselves. They did good enough. So, I mean, I'm glad that I got to watch it, but that was that.
Okay. That is that. I feel like I've frozen up on my end. Do I look okay on your end, Jerry?
You look great.
Okay. So it's just my computer. Not a big deal. I was impressed by the combine. I think you worded it very well that it was not, it was not substantial, not sizzling.
It was sizzle. There was a little sizzle. There wasn't any steak to it. I think that was my issue. All the steak guys were not there. Now I lost Randy, and now I got to wing it, and I'm absolutely horrible at this. I can't do a mock draft by myself, but here we go. We're going to try it as best we can, boys. Justin, I'm just going to answer your question because I don't have Randy, and he's the one that runs everything, and I'm absolutely a terrible host. So, would y'all trade Waddle and Pacheco for the 109, 111, 205, 25 first? Yes. That's so much value. Like, the chances that 109, 111, 205 work out for you, they're hit or miss, I'm going to be honest with you. But that's just so many shots. For Isaiah Pacheco, are you really excited about Isaiah Pacheco to be in your lineup? When it's championship time and you got to plug him in, do you think he's going to be a difference maker against the guy that you're playing? I would say no. And has Jalen Waddle been that? I don't think so either. You know, he's just, he's like Devonta Smith. Like, you're happy that you have him and you're chilling. Randy, hi, welcome back. I was filibustering. I answered Justin's question on a trade. I took the package. What would you go with?
Pacheco. So trade Waddle and Pacheco for the 109, the 111, the two. Yeah. Yeah. That's a sackful of goodness right there. I'll be honest. It's about two first too many. If I got the, yeah. I think the 109, the 111, and the 205 are, I think that's fair as compensation for those two guys, especially with Waddle doing what he did last year. Is he what he was 2 years ago? Is what he was last year? So I want to thank everybody, Jerry. I thank God for the task manager. I was able to go in, jump out. For whatever reason, Chrome just froze. But we're gonna regroup right after this ad.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer. So you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team. And then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing. And it's going to be well worth it.
Well, Jerry, I got to the, during the commercial break, I got to the bottom of what caused my computer to freeze up. You know what it was?
I will say a joke, but I don't want to get kicked off a Player Profiler. So you go ahead and just keep going.
It's tonight's good people, bad tweets. And it's not really a tweet, but it was probably the most viral thing in the fantasy community over the weekend. Did you, I don't know how you could have missed it. It had like 5.3 million impressions. It was Dustin Lutke, and I'm hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, at the Dunnit 13. He went to the combine right here in Indy. And he asked Caleb Williams if he was afraid to compete at the combine. Did you see this?
Yeah, I did.
What were your thoughts? Because I was like,
Listen, I mean, it's a little Bush League, especially because he had just come to the podium. But as far as a question is concerned, put the dude on his toes. Randy, you've been in management for a long time. Don't tell me you don't got interview questions that make people uncomfortable. And you want to see how he responds to it. I don't hate it. I didn't hate it as much as other people did. Like, I'm never doing it because, like, I'm never just going to be that guy that's just like a cock for no reason. But, I mean, we're talking about whenever they've done NFL player interviews, they've asked the stupidest, most obscure thing in the history of the world. And I would rather listen to a question like that than a underhanded, just gimme.
Well, several layers to this onion, you know, like what'd Shrek say? What'd Shrek teach us all? That ogres are like onions and they have layers. This situation has many layers. First of all, from the competing standpoint, I kind of get that. And I used to have a very similar philosophy. I'm like, why would you not want to go? Why would you not want to compete? Why would you not want to show how hard you can throw the football, how accurately you can throw the football, how fast you are? Is there anything short of committing a felony that is going to make Caleb Williams go anywhere but 101?
No, he's there. That's where he's going.
Okay. And the same thing by, you know, just because we're already on the topic, for Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers. Their draft capital is locked up. They have already, so whatever that slot pays, whatever the 101 pays, the 103 pays, whatever that pays, they've locked that up.
Yeah.
Done. All they can do is go out there and drop a stinker an absolute stinker, and then you go from top 10 to top 20, that costs you millions of dollars.
Pulling a hamstring, running the 40, 100 things.
So the kid last year, he went to USC, and he tore his ACL at the combine. Now, that guy probably went from being like a third-round pick to a seventh-round pick, but you get the point. There is no upside. I did like Jaden Daniels' reason for not participating. I thought it was pretty slick. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But he said that he wanted to bring more attention to his teammates at LSU. Because, I mean, LSU, they don't get enough attention. I mean, it might as well be he might as well be Malik Willis and Liberty, you know, bringing those national eyes to LSU. God bless you. But at least that felt more genuine.
It's true. It was a good answer.
It was a great answer. The next thing is a lot of people were up in arms because he was instantly labeled a quote-unquote fantasy guy. And this is why they're and a lot of people were like, this is why they'll never take us serious. Oh, as if this is the reason.
We don't give you a plethora of reasons to not take us seriously.
I put my finger on it. It's guys who ask questions like this at the combine, you know, and it's not the case. It was one isolated question to a very popular. And like I said, the 101 in the NFL draft is going to be Caleb Williams. It's just what it is. But you have a lot of times you have really smart people like our new old teammate, Cody Carpentier, back as an official content creator here at Player Profiler. You know, he was at the podium last year, and he asked a question that wound up on the Pat McAfee show. Yeah. And then I believe it was 2 or 3 years ago when friend of the show Shane Hallam asked a question that wound up on SportsCenter. And I might have intertwined those, but both of those guys got national attention because they asked great questions. So I'm not going to beat Dustin up too bad, as if people haven't beat up on him enough already. But I didn't know how we could do bad people or good people bad tweets and not cover this, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, it was the story for sure. But I didn't hate it. I don't hate it. Like, you're going to ask that over, like, what's your favorite cereal? Like, I don't care. I don't care. You're wasting my time.
Yeah, it was interesting. The virtue signaling of the fantasy community is unmatched. And before we get into the first of the draft, speaking of unmatched, sometimes an unfortunate series of events leads to something really good. And I already mentioned Cody's back with Player Profiler, Josh Larkey's back. What the gang at Player Profiler is doing behind the scenes, and there are things coming that we're not at liberty, at least I'm not, Jerry doesn't even know, but I'm not at liberty to divulge yet. But cool stuff coming from the group here at Player Profiler. Jerry and I could not be more proud to call, you know, Cody a teammate again. Matty Kiwoom, guys, I got sick this weekend, and I was going to meet those guys, but you didn't want what I had. But anyway, that is good people. That is bad tweets. We got to give them something from Dana White on this one, Jerry. So I'm looking over the menu. I think I'm going this one.
This motherfucker on the planet. Holy shit. You know how fucking stupid you have to be to even think something like that, let alone say it publicly and act like you're fucking serious.
I think this one was so big it deserved a double shot of Dana
and
White.
You love Dana.
You know what I love about Dana White? And it's kind of the same thing I like about Goodell, is they don't care what the media says. They don't
You're
care.
Not wrong.
That, you know, like
Roger Goodell would have retired a long time ago if he did.
Like Adam Silver with the NBA. You know, when it comes to the media, he's like, bend over and grab your ankles. You know, tell me who's driving. That's but Dana White is just going to tell you how it is. That's why Dana White always going to end good people, bad tweets. Well, let's get into this mock draft, man. Yeah. Let's get into this. You want to go 101 or do you want to go 102?
It's going to be Caleb. I'll just take it. Since all right. We're going to talk about 101 for 8.6 seconds. It's Caleb Williams. He's the quarterback of USC. Randy, who's the second pick?
Well, I got to write that down. So there is nothing in a super flex league that can move Caleb for you.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, listen.
It's fair. I don't want to waste time.
There's parts of his game that scared me a little bit. I think he backpedals a little bit too much, and he doesn't settle in the pocket, and it takes him a long time to throw. But when it comes to just pure talent and arm strength, watching that dude and what he can do, wild.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny. I tend to zig where the rest of the public zags. And, like, I didn't really, like, love this guy coming into the season. But now that it feels like everybody else has turned their back on him, it's like I like him more than I did before. I don't know. I agree. He's the 101. You actually said it really well last week. Quarterbacks and Superflex are just such a premium, just absolutely such a premium. And that's why I'm going to go one here myself. And this could change. This is TBD. But if you're taking notes at home, this is your first Memphis guy of the year. And for me, that's Drake May. Now, if Drake May winds up going to New England, I may have to drop him to 103, but this is my guy. 6'5", more mobile than you think. I think he had 800 yards rushing 1 year at North Carolina. I would love to see him in Washington with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson and Brian Robinson and maybe improve the offensive line in a Cliff Kingsbury offense. For right now, that's my 102. I can understand why you'd want to go Marvin Harrison. I could understand why you'd want to go Jaden Daniels. But for me, because it's a my guy and I can do whatever the hell I want, I'm going Drake May, Jerry.
That's fair. And listen, if I had your pick, I would have gone Jaden Daniels. So I'm going to go Jaden Daniels 103. But Jerry, Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board still. Why are you passing on Jaden on Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because it's a super flex draft, man. I mean, Garrett Wilson was in the same exact spot a few years ago. Would you rather have a quarterback or Garrett Wilson at this point? I mean, a vast majority of the quarterbacks that are going. So I'm Jaden Daniels, Heisman Trophy winner. Well, he runs. I'm sorry. Theo, I do apologize. I hear you. I understand it. But I'm talking about a wide receiver here. Over a quarterback in a superflex league. When you have a quarterback problem in a superflex league, it takes you immense time to rebuild it. If you have a wide receiver problem, you can patch it together. You cannot patch together a quarterback problem.
Let me ask you a question before I address Theo's, you know, little statement there.
It's all caps. It is immense disrespect for me.
Does that change if Jaden Daniels happens to be the one who goes to New England? Or are you going to learn from last year's mistake where we weren't going to take C.J. Stroud because he went to Houston?
Well, no, I was always a C.J. Stroud guy, for the record. But
that is true. That is true. I agree with
you. There's situations where it 100% changes. But I'm just doing it with the information that I have and with the foundation of how I have played this game for a decade plus. I can fix a wide receiver issue. If I pin together a bunch of quarterbacks, you know what I get? A bunch of bad quarterbacks, and I don't beat the teams that have Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson and everybody else. I've got teams that have Justin Jefferson, and then they've got Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones. And you know what happens on those teams, Randy? They're fucking bad.
Well, they wind up like getting like third or fourth in the league. They just don't have the horsepower. And this is my philosophy. And I've said this last year. I'm going to say it this year. And I'm going to say it next year. The NCAA continues to give us wide receiver class after wide receiver class after wide receiver class. Go back and look at the last five or six NFL drafts. They've all been good wide receiver drafts. They have four or five or six in the first round. That's not going to change. It's not. But when you have a shot with these premium picks, you have to take the quarterback, especially one as talented as Jaden Daniels. Because you know what? If you have the 103, there's a good chance you have the 203. And when we get to the 203, you're going to be able to put a wide receiver or maybe someone else in that spot. So that's why I'm with you. I'm taking Jaden Daniels, but I am taking Marvin at 104.
Well, of course you are. I mean, I underhanded that one to you. But the other thing is, if you're picking at 103, and you're taking Jaden Daniels here, you probably don't have a great team, right? Because you're picking at three. And then you're going to, you probably need a quarterback, because most of the teams that are bad don't have good quarterbacks. Because if you had two good quarterbacks in a Superflex league, you wouldn't be picking at 103. And next year, the quarterback class is just not the same. So if you get one of these early picks and you're, oh boy, maybe Quinn Ewers is going to pop off, even though he just lost two wide receivers that ran 4.3 and 4.240s. I mean, we'll find out, I guess, but. No, I'm taking it. But anyway, Marvin Harrison Jr., 104.
Yeah, just
shocker.
Quick synopsis. He's the best wide receiver prospect I've seen since Calvin Johnson. So I don't need him to. I don't need to see him run. I've watched him play a lot of football. So I'm two big thumbs up on Marvin Harrison. I think the draft really kind of starts now. These will be your top four. I'll be curious to see who you go with at five, given that this is tight end premium. Hint, hint. Wink,
it
nod.
It is a wink, nod, and I will. Wink, wink, nod, nod, set you up perfectly for your pick at 106, because I'm not going Brock Bowers. I'm going to go with Malik Nabers. The thing with early first round tight ends is the value that it takes for you to pick them usually does not pay off in production. Yes, this is a counter argument to my quarterback argument. When you have, if you're in a tight end premium league and you have a tight end problem, it is sort of hard to match it up, especially if you have to start two. Randy, we are in our league. It is a two tight end premium, and I have poopy tight ends, and I have been struggling because of it. Randall, on the other hand, has good tight ends, and ready for it? His team is good. But I just... it seems like they offer you nothing but disappointment more times than not. TJ Hockenson worked out. Kyle Pitts did not. It took Evan Ingram some time to work out. It took David Njoku like 7 years to work out. OJ Howard never worked out. Noah Fant never worked out. It happens. And I hear about a generational tight end every single year. And while I think Brock Bowers is absolutely the pick at 106, I'm not taking him over Malik Nabers 9 out of 10 times. That's a 90-10 pick for me.
Well, we call this handing your teammate a hot one. At the 106, you've handed me a hot one. I will say, if I'm in a league like this and I am in this situation and I am choosing, I'll tell you who I would have potentially had here. And I'm between Rome Odunze and Brock Bowers. Today being tight end premium, I'm going to take Brock Bowers, but I reserve the right to take Rome Odunze in a future draft if he gets drafted to a team in a spot that I really like. Like if for some crazy beyond conceivable notion that he goes to the Chargers at five, I can't ignore that. But for now, because of the scarcity of the position, the success that tight ends have had younger, I mean, we saw Laporta last year. We saw year two, Trey McBride. I'm going to take Brock Bowers. I have to. I might look to trade out of this pick if there's a Brock Bowers guy, but there's no trades in this draft, so I'm taking Brock Bowers.
Which is fair, which you have to, and we're setting me up for another easy one. Rome Odunze. I mean, big guy, still ran in the 4.4s, looked good in the gauntlet, had a ton of production. I mean, he just seems like he's almost locked in to that wide receiver three spot at this point. We're getting pretty chalk with where we're at and who we're liking. I am curious to see where he ends up, because if he ends up in a bad spot, I will be less likely and I will hate that I took him here. But as of right now, so easy for me.
Yeah, this is where the 108 is where the draft is going to start in tight end premium. I'll be honest, and his name will come up. He won't fall too far. There was a wide receiver that Jerry and I talked about on the pre-show for our patrons over at patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. But there was a wide receiver I was ready to potentially move into the big four, and Jerry squashed it. So the 108 in Superflex tight end premium is where this is going to get interesting. I'm actually going to go with Troy Franklin out of Oregon. I just like the talent. He was always my wide receiver four. I'll just go ahead and say the name. I was going to move Brian Thomas ahead of him. When we get to Brian Thomas, you can also gently let all these people down. I like Troy Franklin. The Podfather likes Troy Franklin. That's my pick at 108. What are your thoughts on Franklin and who's the 109?
Yeah, I mean, I like Franklin. I think this is another one of those chalk picks that that's what we're going to stick with. I mean, he's the guy that I think can drop the furthest. I think this is sort of where his ceiling is. I don't foresee a situation where a lot of the community is going to have him jump Rome Odunze, and definitely not Malik Davis, and definitely not Marvin Harrison Jr. But should he end up in a poor situation, I could absolutely. He's like that guy that everybody likes to talk about, and then the NFL draft happens, and then all of a sudden you're taking him at 301. Like I'm not necessarily saying that's going to happen, but he seems like he has the widest range. I am going to go with Trey Benson, because if you think there's a situation where I don't take a running back, that's not it. Listen, if we're going to compare Trey Benson and this running back class to other running back classes, no, maybe he doesn't deserve to go in this spot based on value, but for what I potentially get, I'm getting a rookie running back who ran a great 40 and has a good stats and looks pretty damn good. I am a Jonathan Brooks guy, but with the injury, not knowing what it looks like, it would be disingenuous of me to take him over Trey Benson based on how Trey Benson's profile is and how well he did at the combine. Randy, draft running backs trade for wide receivers, man. You talked about it earlier. The NCAA is just spitting wide receivers out like it's nothing. But fantasy players need running backs. At this point, they are the hardest position to deal with, because we got to deal with split backfields everywhere. Like there's really no situations where it's, oh, okay, you know, workhorse. This isn't 2005 anymore, unfortunately, when they made it super easy for us. So I'm going to take Benson. I'm going to take a stab at it. If I'm at 109, I got a pretty good team anyway. And if there's a person that I can get quick value with, it's a running back, or I'll know that they're crap real quick.
Well, you stole the point I was going to share, is that if you have the 109, that means you finished fourth in your league last year. If the 109 is your pick and you didn't acquire it via a trade, and you may already have some good wide receivers, and maybe your running backs let you down. I think this is a great spot in Superflex tight end premium to start looking at running backs. I'm not going to spoil the rankings. You should go get the Dynasty Dominator over or the all-in package over at Player Profiler. But Trey Benson, moving on up the rankings, you know, this is where it gets tricky. I almost want to go quarterback here. I'll be very honest, because there's a couple of them that I want to go. And a guy that I probably like more than you, and it may be too early, but that's the 110. I like him. I think I'm going to be another Memphis guy. I'm going Blake Corum. Now, you had some pushback. I think this may be a little high for him. That's okay. I'm going to get the running back, because when I'm looking at wide receivers like Brian Thomas Jr. or Xavier Worthy or Adonai Mitchell, I start looking at those guys, and I'm like, you know, or would I rather have a guy like Blake Corum? I know he's older, but I look at running backs as like lease cars. You get one, you get it for 4 years, you sign that contract, you use it, and then you turn it in and go get a new one. That's what running backs are. You get the occasional special one like a Bijan Robinson or a Breece Hall or what have you, and maybe you keep those guys a little bit longer. But at the 110, a little early, but I like Blake Corum.
I don't hate it. My issue with Blake Corum, and I said this in the Patreon podcast we did before we started recording, he just was so dominant on the goal line in his time at Michigan. Broke the all-time Michigan touchdown record. And I don't know if you know anything about Michigan football, but they've been around for a very, very, very long time. And so to have that record is something. My issue is when you are 5'8" and you are 200 pounds and you don't have tons of pass catching, I don't foresee you being a long-term asset on the goal line. I like Blake Corum. And I mentioned that I saw somebody say that he was comparable to Doug Martin in size and as profile. And I thought that's great, because if he can be Doug Martin, then taking him here, Randy, is a hell of a pick. And as far as far as 111 is concerned,
yes, sir,
we're just going to keep on rolling. I think it's the biggest winner. It's Xavier Worthy from the Combine. I think he helped his stock tremendous. Yes. You know, I'll let you make your point about it. But he was unbelievably fast, to the point that it's unbelievable that that is the same species as me. Because I would have not only torn a hamstring, not only would have torn my hands and my face up on the rubber track, but it also would have taken me 8.4 seconds to get that 40 yards. And that dude did it in 4.21. Absolutely unbelievable. Absolute specimen. But he's also just, he's been successful and he's been good. He's got warts, but we're living in 2024 in this dynasty community. If you think that that man running a 4.21 didn't put him in the first round of a super flex draft, and you don't think it's going to tremendously help his draft capital, you're lying to yourself.
He is also moving up the ranks over at playerprofiler.com, the rookie ranks. I'm going to go Jonathan Brooks. If I have the 112, then I won the league if it's my pick. And that feels like the kind of team where I can afford to wait a year for Jonathan Brooks, if that ends up being the case. All the same stuff that we heard 2 years ago about Breece Hall, when he tore a late ACL. Remember that, Jerry? Oh, he's going to start on the pup, and he's going to get off to a slow. He set your hair on fire. Yes, all right. I've stopped looking at ACLs, and I even heard this on the Mind of Manchin the other day. Talking about ACLs, I'm like, is it 2024? Or is it 1994? These things have changed. Now I understand they're all unique. They're like snowflakes. But I'm like, I'm not caught up anymore on an ACL. I mean, it's easy to say when it's not my ACL.
Right.
But the recovery and the medicine and the stem cells and all the stuff, it's just changed. And the recovery has changed and the players have changed. I don't know. It just, for me, it's not a big deal because I could get some use out of him. But at the 112, I think this is an absolute bargain, especially if he gets day two draft capital.
100%. I mean, that's my guy. I mean, if he's healthy and he's roaring and he's ready to go, I think he's my 108 pick, maybe 107 pick, depending where Roma Dunze goes, and I'm very happy about it. For 201, starting off the second round, we're going two.
We're going two, right? You want to repeat?
You got to you being a friendly host. See, when you were gone, I told
you don't read the reviews.
That I'm a terrible host, and I'm just going to end up rambling and filibustering.
If you
want to be a professional, you go ahead. You be a professional.
I am going to be a professional. When people say, hey, when you do these mock drafts for us audio consumers, would you mind?
Because they skip Jerry's picks. Every time they hear my voice, they just beep, 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 15 seconds ahead.
I'm not saying whether that's true or false, but I am saying the listeners have said they want a recap. So 101, Caleb Williams. 102, Drake May. 103, Jaden Daniels.
But 104, Marvin Harrison's on the board.
He's no longer on the board. He was the 104. Malik Nabers, 105. Brock Bowers, 106. Roma Dunze, 107. Troy Franklin, 108. Trey Benson, 109. Blake Corum, 110. Xavier Worthy, 111. And Jonathan Brooks, 112. Well, that was a lot of recap, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you hear about the injury finder while I get a drink of water.
Now, as we at Player Profiler have become a full-blown machine learning company, the crowning achievement has to be the injury finder. We're now taking BMI data and injury history data and assigning a probability that a player is injured on any given touch. And not only can you see a player's fragility rating, their injury risk, we also have analysis from professional physical therapists breaking down all the major players that underwent surgery last year and what their rehabilitation looks like heading into 2023. There's a tool to compare players. There's a database where you can say, show me all the foot injuries, show me all the severe injuries, show me all the injuries requiring surgery. It provides you the key market intelligence to know what is the difference in probability that player X versus player Y will miss games this year. It's great for fantasy football, and it also just satisfies your curiosity as a fan. Go to the App Store, go to Google Play, download it. It's $5 every year just to reload the latest injury predictions and fragility ratings. The 2023 data is live now. Open your phone and get smarter.
There you go. Little injury finder. Well, Jerry, you were so ready to shoot that 201 shot. Take your shot.
We're going quarterback. We're going Bo Nix.
Oh,
Jerry, J.J. McCarthy was just there. What about Michael Penix, Jerry? Listen, Bo Nix has been relevant in what seems like the last 84 years of college football. He played 5 full seasons as a starting quarterback. He bounced around from the Pac-12 at Oregon, and he started at Auburn in the SEC, and he's been successful. But not only has he been successful, but he's gotten progressively better. Now, in his 2 years at Oregon, he took a major jump. But what he's never been is mistake prone. Let's look at his interception numbers, shall we? So he played 5 seasons, 6-7-3-7-3. That's pretty good, Randy. That's a guy that doesn't do a lot of nonsense. So then you think, okay, maybe he just doesn't take risks, right? And at his time at Auburn, you would be right. 16, 12, and 11 touchdowns. Ew, right? That doesn't tickle my nipples at all. But then he gets to Oregon, which is Oregon, and, you know, slightly known for offense, where he went 29-7. And then this season, bro had 45 touchdowns and 3 interceptions for 4,500 yards, 77% completion percentage. And I get that guy at 201. I'll do that. Listen, this is a situation where Penix, Bo Nix, or J.J. McCarthy could absolutely be in this spot, depending on where they end up and who the assets are that they have to throw to. But as of right now, I'm going to take Bo Nix.
Well, I was bummed. That was going to be my next pick at the 202. Have you heard of famous football coach? He coaches American football, or used to. He's currently retired. Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of his won a Super Bowl or two. Have you ever heard of his 4 guidelines for drafting a QB?
I do not know them.
Okay. Well, it needs to be a senior, which Mr. Nix checks. A graduate, which I believe Mr. Nix is going to check. At least a 3-year starter. Must have won 23 games. Check, 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 check. You know who was who was mentored under the Bill Parcells tree?
I don't.
Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. And I could see where they sign a Gardner Minshew, a Sam Darnold, one of those second or third tier free agent quarterbacks, and then draft a guy like Bo Nix and potentially redshirt him for some or half of the year. I really wanted Bo Nix. I'm bummed. I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy. I think he's super young, incredibly talented, and I hope he gets that exact same kind of on-ramp that I just mentioned for Bo Nix. I would love for him to go to the further he goes in the draft, the more likely he goes to a good team. And I would love for him to go to a team like the Raiders, where I guess he could quote-unquote compete with the guy from Purdue, Aiden O'Connell, something like that. For me, you mentioned it earlier. It's super flex. You got to get your QBs. And if he gets first-round NFL draft capital, yeah, are you maybe going to get like another Daniel Jones or worst-case scenario Sam Darnold? Yeah, sure, possible. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Both those guys have given you many type usable games throughout their, you know, first 3 years of their career. So I'm going to go J.J. McCarthy. I really like that Bo Nix pick.
I mean, and if J.J. McCarthy goes like to Minnesota, I mean, you're taking him at 108. I mean, so he's got the chance to jump up a ton. He's shown flashes. We've seen what his ceiling can be and it's unbelievable. We just haven't seen enough of it, and that sucks for us. But also, Michigan was winning with the style that they had, so they didn't change it, and that's all good. I'm going to take Braylon Allen at 203. I don't think there's many situations where Braylon Allen is going to end up right here. I'm not even a huge Braylon Allen guy. I think he's fine. Like, he's a unit. Bro's a tank. I don't think he does anything super awesome.
He bench presses real well. He had 26. Yeah. He had 26 reps. Yeah.
And he was smart not to run the 40 because it would have not been great and it could have hindered him. And he's got good tape. He's got good tape. And if you look at him next to all the other running backs, he looks like an animal. So I think he helped himself. And depending on the situation, he absolutely could jump up just an absolute ton of picks. His brand is not exactly simpatico with what I like to do with running backs. So that's why I'm going to take him, only because we've fallen this far, but don't love it exactly. And I think that'll piss a lot of people off.
Well, you have always been good at pissing a lot of people off. I like Braylon Allen. I mean, you know who saw him over the last couple of years while they were the head coach of Michigan? Jim Harbaugh. You know who might fit that monster? I mean, everybody, obviously, it's way too early in the mock draft process to start hyperbolizing and, you know, doing theories on where these guys will end up. I'm just saying that a guy like Braylon Allen in a Jim Harbaugh offense with Justin Herbert, you'd have to love it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a Derrick Henry type, but I'm going to go Jalen Wright. This is the part of the draft where I could care less about wide receiver. There's going to be so many dart throws, and I know you're going to be like, what about Brian Thomas? We'll get to him. We'll get to him. We should. We'll get to him. But Jalen Wright, love the speed. He's the sleeper that's not really a sleeper because everybody, you know, on Twitter has been calling him a sleeper. I like the kid's game. This is the part of the draft where I'm a running back guy, so I am going to get Jalen Wright here, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm not going to be mad at you because, I mean, there is a lot of just picking and choosing at this point. I think we've hit that range of guy where I like this guy. I'm going to take him here. Like, there's a chance he falls to 304. I can also take him right here, and I don't give a damn about it. I'm going to just keep firing quarterbacks because I do think that some combination of Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, or Michael Penix is going to end up going in like 108, 109, 110 range. And so I don't want to let them fall too far because I think they're all good enough. And I think they all should be in that range. It's just, where are they going to end up? Because somebody's going to end up in New England and we're going to hate them. And we're going to disrespect him, and they're going to plummet further than this. So I'm going to take Michael Penix just because dude's an animal. Now, he had a lot of talent at Washington at pass catcher and at running back. I mean, and the whole offense was good, but he was good at Indiana too. He has just continuously been good. I just like him. I think I like him more than I like Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. For some reason, I just have this gut feeling that the NFL is not. And I don't know if it's because he's a lefty or it's because he's played for 100 years, but so has Bo Nix. We'll see. I'm going to take Michael Penix, and I'm going to be pretty happy about it if I can get one of these quarterbacks in this spot come May.
All right. Well, I'm going to
Even if they're the one that ends up in the poopy spot, I'm still going to be pretty happy about it.
I'm going to do it. I didn't want to do it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Brian Thomas Jr. right here. Okay. And I was fully prepared to take him much earlier. But that podcast that Jerry and I recorded for our patrons earlier, he was like, I'm not falling for it. He's like, I remember another real tall and skinny wide receiver from LSU named DJ Chark. And for me, it was literally that record scratch moment. I was like, oh my God. And then I go to Player Profiler because it's a really cool website. You guys should too. Go to Player Profiler and you pull up his card and he's a true junior, right? He's a true junior. As a freshman, he had 359 yards. as a sophomore, he had 361, improved by 2 full yards.
Let's go.
Let's go. And then all of a sudden this year, 1,177. And he went from 2 touchdowns to 5 touchdowns to 17 touchdowns. Now, he is a super young guy. He's 21. He has no breakout age listed. His college dominator is the 20th percentile. His college target share was 12.7, 18th percentile. I know a lot of people like him. He ran super fast. I got to be honest. I didn't move him down, but I didn't move him up. He makes me very nervous, Jerry. You said DJ Chark, and you made my heart skip.
Well, it's because listen, that's a bit of a lazy comp just because he was a tall wide receiver from LSU who ran in the 4.4s. I think Brian Thomas right here is
4.3s.
4.3s. Sorry. Thank you. I think Brian Thomas right here is fine. You could take a shot on him. And I mean, because, you know, even if he is DJ Chark, DJ Chark's had some spots, and we're talking about middle of second. And I know that might sound egregious to some people who are listening, but if you played this game for a long enough time, you know that a lot of these players that we're talking about, while they sound wonderful right now, because we've done nothing but talk about them for the last 3 months, there's a very good chance that this time next year, we don't give a singular crap about half of them. And they're going to fall straight off of the earth. So I'm fine with taking a shot with him, because if he hits, he is a monster. And I'm with you on that one. So I can dig it.
I mean, the NFL and his landing spot and NFL draft capital will be the next piece of the puzzle. We know he's a good athlete. So next pick.
It's a guy that I want to love, because we are talking about the only human being that has ever lived in the history of this species who has scored a touchdown and scored on the basketball court against the Michigan Wolverines, and that is Keon Coleman. And he did that in the green and white in both of those games. So as me, a fellow Spartan, you would know that I would love this individual. But I just don't think Keon Coleman is the type of wide receiver the NFL wants. And then he ran slow, like bad slow. And he's not known for getting tons of separation. He's a jump ball guy, which is a thing of the past. But I do think he is very good at that. And we're talking about, what, 207? 207? Like, there's a chance he ends up as a first round pick in the NFL draft. I don't think so. I think he slipped out of that, but it's a non-zero possibility. And if I can get him here, that's going to be a smash for me as well. So I want Keon to love Coleman. Him. Keon Coleman. I want to love him. I really do. I'm just worried that he is going to be the Kelvin Benjamin. Maybe not as many biscuits that Kelvin Benjamin enjoyed in his time, but that same sort of, maybe he has a really good season, but it's never consistent. Maybe it never happens. That's just what it feels like.
Yeah, this is the part of the draft where you start getting, you're just hoping to hit here.
Yeah.
You know, people always claim, oh, I love hoarding all these seconds. Good for you.
I don't give a shit about them.
good for you. Because with really good research and work, you can probably hit 75-80% in the first round. And usually those first 7-8 picks, they all more than likely seem to work out, or at least maintain value for a while. You get past that, you know, for every bargain bin guy you find, there's always going to be a Daryl Henderson. Look it up, kids. All right, I'm going to go ahead and go with Donnay Mitchell. I don't hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but the wide receiver out of Texas. It's kind of similar to Thomas, is that, you know, he broke out this year. 845 yards, 55 receptions. Your boy Worthy is my opinion. He was the one there in Texas, but I do like Mitchell. Draft capital landing spot in the NFL could change this for me, but I'll just take a Donnay Mitchell.
You know, I can dig that. I mean, he was absolutely one of the big wins for sure in this class. As far as my guy,
I will say I do like that his burst is 96th percentile. Really good athlete. So I have no problem taking him here.
This guy has been trouble for me the whole time that he has been a college athlete, because I've never really thought he was special. And yet, every single time you watch a game where his team plays, Roman Wilson just makes plays. He seems like he's going to be the guy that just can create separation. And if there is something about the NFL in 2024, it's the guys that can create a little bit and give their quarterback just that millisecond to get him the ball. They're going to find him and they're going to look for that person. And Roman Wilson is a speedster, ran in the 4.3s, you know, never really had super production at Michigan. But for the same thing that we talked about when I talked about J.J. McCarthy, never really given the opportunity. They didn't need to. He didn't need to catch 1,500 yards because Blake Corum was dropping his nuts on everybody over and over and over again. I'm going to take Roman Wilson. Like I said, he never really seemed like he's just this absolute animal, but broken play. And if he's a good football player and he knows the smarts of the game, which he clearly does, and he's a good athlete at 209. Yeah, I think he did a lot of good for himself at the combine.
Man, I was hoping to get him with my next pick. I don't mind the pick that I got. So I'm going to take Ladd McConkey.
Okay.
I think this might be a value, him going this late, because Player Profiler does have him higher. I like the fact that he's 6 foot tall, weighs 186 pounds. And I think that's going to play real well in the NFL. Because part of the reason why I like Cooper Kupp so much is that Cooper Kupp was like 6'1", 6'2". You know, same thing as Jordy Nelson, you know. And I hate to put these guys in buckets or what have you, but, you know, not every white wide receiver is Hunter Renfro or right. Wes Welker or Julian Edelman. You know, those guys are all – what those guys have in common, they're all like 5'9". Ladd McConkey, 6 foot tall, can probably win in a lot of levels in the NFL, and I just like guys who play this style of wide receiver. You mentioned your boy Keon Coleman and how the league is going away from that type of wide receiver. And then I mentioned Cooper Kupp, Justin Jefferson, those guys that can do a lot of different things at the position. I think Ladd McConkey could be like the biggest steal of this draft. So I'm going to take him here.
That's fair. I'm not super sold on him, but I hear you. And I think he's going to go higher when drafts actually roll around, because I think a lot more people like him a lot more than we do. I'm going to take Marshawn Lloyd just because I like running backs, and I'm going to take as many shots as I can, because I don't know which one of these guys is going to pop off, but we are going to have a player or two that gets drafted into a situation, or they've got a Cam Akers in front of them who's just never going to be the guy, and they're going to just truck them, and they're going to take a spot. And while Marshawn Lloyd was never really the guy at USC or South Carolina, I think he was before then. I mean, 5'9", 220, runs a 4.4 40, was productive enough, got some pass-catching opportunities. Yeah. At 211? Yep. Absolutely. Even if he ends up being Roshan Johnson, and I'm just sort of hoping, oh, give me the opportunity, please. That's still got value. And if I have that same exact value, like Roshan Value has value right now, and he has done absolutely zero in the NFL. So I'm going to take the running back here.
Well, that's hurtful, but the comments on Roshan are what's hurtful. So I do appreciate you being honest and keeping it real. I'm excited to get this guy at the 212. So for those of you keeping score at home, The three Memphis guys in this draft this year, we got Drake May, we got Blake Corum, we got Malachi Corley. I like this dude. I love watching him play football. I like the fact that he had, as a freshman, he only played in three games, but the following 3 years, 73, 101, 79 receptions. Touchdowns, 7, 11, 11. Now, it was Western Kentucky. It wasn't exactly LSU. But, man, I just like this guy's game. I mean, and the more I watch him, the more I like him. And I don't want to go as far as to say Debo. I think he might be a little bit of a better route runner and true pass catcher than Debo. That might be blasphemy because Debo has been nothing but successful in the NFL. But 5'11", 215, that's thick. That's thick as peanut butter oatmeal, Jerry. And I like Malachi Corley. I've mentioned it in our group chat that he's going to be one of my guys. So I'm thrilled to get him with the last pick of the second round.
This boy said thick as peanut butter. That's wonderful.
Peanut butter oatmeal.
Oh, peanut butter oatmeal. All right. That is thicker. I'll give you that. I mean, I like him too. And here's the thing. I actually like guys. Some people like to hit off on the guys.
I'm just going to cut that out. I like guys.
damn it. But you know, they like to piss on guys that are, you know, in those high octane offenses like Western Kentucky. I like guys that are like that. I want a guy where the offense is absolutely tied through them and they're just getting peppered over and over and over and over again. And the defense knows exactly that it's going to be a pass over and over and over and over again. And they're still productive. I like that. I'm about the guy for sure.
Well, this was a good experiment. Our first mock draft post NFL Combine. As I look back over, let me read round two, Jerry. Then we'll recap the show. Cool. 201, Bo Nix. 202, J.J. McCarthy. 203, Braylon Allen. 204, Jalen Wright. 205, Michael Penix Jr. 206, Brian Thomas Jr. 207, Keon Coleman. 208, Adonai Mitchell. 209, Roman Wilson. 210, Ladd McConkey. 211, Marshawn Lloyd. 212, Malachi Corley. The one thing that I will say is I think that as people listen back to this, they were like, I bet you if we had inverted Blake Corum and Brian Thomas, I think people would have liked it a lot more. Not that I think people will hate it. I just, you put some trepidation in my mind as it relates to Brian Thomas, but I do like it, and
if I screw you in the long run, I do apologize. I really do. But here's the thing. I don't care what anybody else says.
I appreciate that about you. We
have played, what do you got? 25-ish leagues?
Oh yeah, at least. I mean, we have okay. 20. We're getting ready to start Patron 19 like this week.
I think I'm at like 24 or something. And we've played for about 10 years or so in this game. Eight, nine, 10 years you've been playing Dynasty.
Oh, I've been playing Dynasty for longer than that. I'm old. You can just say I'm old.
I mean, that's fair. I think mine was 2014. I think that was my first team.
I played Keeper before that. So, and it was like a three position. So I've been playing Fantasy for a long time.
That's what I mean, which means we've made a lot of mistakes and we have learned the mistakes that we need to avoid. And here's the thing, what I have fallen for before, I want you guys to know this. If you have not been in this game long enough, there was a point when not only was Baker Mayfield just being argued over that he was QB2 overall in Superflex leagues, and Allen Robinson was wide receiver 2 behind Odell Beckham Jr. at one point. And I want you to know that none of that ever worked out. And so not listening to that nonsense. And that offseason, Randall, we did a lot of arguing saying how nonsensical that was. So don't trust everybody. Don't trust us entirely. Use us. Use us as a tool. Use what we have done and our arguments and make your own. And use the people that we have and use it as a baseline so that you can determine which sort of range you think players are going to end up in. Because here's the thing. I have made mistakes. You have made different mistakes. And if you know something that has made you better because of that mistake, my friend, use it.
Yeah. And you mentioned it earlier as well. Two things, actually. One, this is just a piece of the puzzle. Yes. This is just a piece of the puzzle. I think the biggest piece of the puzzle is where the NFL draft capital comes from. Where do these guys go? And here's the thing. You're going to hear a lot for you smart dozens and dozens and dozens of people in the live chat with us. First of all, thank you. You're going to hear opinions you disagree with. But instead of getting mad and instead of getting angry or chalking this person up as a bozo, a very Jerry Sinclair word, instead of doing that, don't get mad. Don't call them a bozo. Just ask why. What are they seeing that I'm not? What is their perspective? And it makes you a better dynasty gamer. And you can do this in anything. But when you hear an opinion you disagree with, just take the part of it and be like, why? Always ask why. Why are they saying that? Jerry and I don't say things for clicks. There's enough people that do things for clicks. We say things because Jerry mentioned it. We've been playing this game for a long time. We've seen some things. And that's what I love about being here at Player Profiler. We meet new people every year. They're new to the show. Maybe they're just starting to spend more time with us. But whether it's me or Cody or Matty Kiwoom or the Podfather or Theo or whoever, if you don't agree with their take, just ask yourself why. We'll get into that more as we get in the offseason. So, Jerry, what I think we do next week, because next week will be the day before legal tampering. That's actually a thing. Legal tampering. So next Monday, the 11th.
Do you think they'll tamper before legal tampering? I bet they do.
I think there was a shit pile of tampering going on in Indianapolis this past weekend.
I bet there was.
The big thing is and I'm going to be very insufferable when Justin Fields gets traded. Don't think I won't, because I called that on this show. I'll be insufferable, as if I'm not already. But we're going to do that. And then for everybody who listens in the chat, so, you know, all these guys and the list scrolls on. For you guys that have questions, next week's show, we're going to do half free agency primer, like preview, and then we'll do a Q&A. Like Franz, he was like, in a single QB dynasty league, would you ship GW and the 103 for the Sun God and the 111? I don't know who GW is.
I don't either.
Is Garrett Wilson. Wilson. I've been doing this for a hot minute. One QB league. Yeah, absolutely. I don't care about the 103. I mean, I do, but I mean, I would much rather have Amon-Ra and whoever I get at 111.
Yeah. So you're Garrett Wilson and who? Dunze? For Amon-Ra, I get a top four wide receiver.
We'll do this next week.
Yeah, I'll take that. I like it.
Bring your questions. We're going to do nothing but prime and preview free agency, and then we'll get back into rookie. So we'll bounce back and forth, because I think this is a huge piece of the puzzle with free agency, because a lot of spots get filled. Who gets cut? Who gets released? Where are they signing? Who's getting traded? All those things. That's the next piece of the puzzle. Then we'll see like what landing spots, and that'll be a spot, and we'll take it from there, Jer.
It's going to be absolutely immaculate going forward, because this is now the dynasty time to shine, baby.
This is like, would you say this is more fun, or is draft season more fun?
I see, like
rookie draft season. Like I'm talking May through mid June.
Rookie draft season is always the absolute most fun, because especially if you've got a lot of leagues, that means you got a lot of drafts. So you always got something going on. So I'm going to say that, but that's not fair, because that's the most fun part of the whole season. See, like that's better than the playoffs.
I'm not going to lie. This is actually my favorite time, because I love second level or intuitive thinking, and I love behind the scenes, because I don't put it out there, because I just don't think there's much value in, like, you know, theorizing, oh, well, if this happened, then this. But I love doing it behind the scenes, because that's where you find value. It's like, well, we know Justin Fields is getting traded. It's like, I'll do you one better. Kyle Pitts. We know Kyle Pitts is getting a new quarterback. Why do we have to wait to figure out who it is? He's getting a new offensive coordinator. Why do I need to wait? The longer you wait, the more expensive. If Justin Fields becomes an Atlanta Falcon this week, you can forget about even reasonable Kyle Pitts or Drake London. But right now, today, you have a shot. And if it's not Justin Fields, it could be J.J. McCarthy. Better than Desmond Ridder. Could be better. Bo Nix. Probably better than Desmond Ridder. He's going to get a QB upgrade. So that's why I love this time of the year. I love trying to put this puzzle together without all the pieces and try to get like a clear vision, because I think that's where the value is.
Yeah, it's a mean puzzle to put together. You know, there's no picture. You don't get a picture.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a little bit. And it's a no edge, no picture puzzle. And you got to try and do your best. But
not a big puzzle.
You know, I like rookie drafts. You know why? Because I'm me. And I'm me, and I have the attention span of a pine cone. Oh, click button, get player. And then I get to have them, and it's great.
Well, it was great doing a podcast with you. Two in a row. Glad they gave you a day off to enjoy some nice weather. We'll do another one next week, and we'll be talking about free agents and taking your questions. We'll do a Q&A. But until then, on behalf of that man, that is Jerry Sinclair. You can follow him at Jerry Sin. DWZ. You can follow me at DWZ Memphis. And remember, here at the Dynasty Warzone, we're just trying to make the world a better place for fantasy football. We'll see you next week, guys. Thank you.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.